I've got an issue with you.
Well, listen, I've just heard that you have a driver. I got to get out of this business and into your business.
So, I did a lot of deals with you over the years.
Yes, we did.
You always got your money from me.
Not always.
You always hammered me. You always said, Doug, this is the deal. What was different about this one? This was a tough one.
Well, this was a tough one, and I'll tell you why. Because the negotiation was always really professional with Montreal. It never became personal because Montreal recognized that in our industry, there were organizations and teams that were, in effect, saying we're happy to do a longer-term deal on a post-entry-level contract. And there were organizations that said we think it's in our best interest to do a shorter-term deal. And to complicate that even further, we ended up losing half a season because of the CBA issue. And we started, of course, well, maybe 2 weeks ago. So that complicated the whole timing issue again. This really was a negotiation where nobody really said, in effect, well, you don't have a credible position for both sides. And we recognized that. At the end of the day, it was finding a resolution to the whole dilemma to have him back playing again. So I think really there were just different industry standards out there that allowed both sides to recognize, well, nobody's really right or wrong here, but how do we find a solution to the process?
Don, is it safe to say if this wasn't a lockout year and you guys missed the first four games in October, then you would have hung in there a little longer to see if you could get your money?
You know what, Nick, that's a good question. I think the timing may have changed the equation here. If we weren't in a position where we had lost half the year, because the circumstances became totally different. In other words, if we were doing a two-year deal, in effect, the player now knows that he's back in within a year and a half negotiating a new position. Or for that matter, if he plays really well, the organization might simply say, we don't even have to wait a year and a half before we do it.
Donnie, that looked to me to be the key of the negotiation, that you were able to back it off, take less than a half a season,
right,
get it up to the 3.75, so you got a new platform next year.
Right.
That makes sense. But by the same token, they want to see a little more from PK. They want to see a little more on the ice. They want to see a little more maturity off the ice. I'm a PK fan. I think he hits his home run yet. I think he does better because of this long term.
Well, you may very well be right. Because, in effect, we have a really, really gifted young player at the age of 23. And as you know, being a manager of a hockey club, defensemen that are that gifted and that age are hard to find. Coupled with the fact that you have a young player that really embraces the community and says that he wants to be a Montreal Canadian now and for a long time in the future. So there's never been any secret in terms of PK embracing the organization, the fans, or the team. So all of that's positive. And when you have a player that has that kind of ability, as you indicate, his best days are yet still to come.
Donnie Meehan is with us, the head of Newport Sports, the agent for PK Subban on Hockey Central at noon with Millard, McLean, and Kiprios. When will PK get to Montreal? When will he play?
He's joining the team on Wednesday in Ottawa. Of course, Montreal's playing tonight, so he'll join the team on Wednesday in Ottawa. And then the question of when he plays will be a matter for Michel Therrien and Marc Bergevin to determine. If you ask PK, he's ready to play now. But obviously, he's going to have to defer to his coach.
Don, when is PK now eligible for UFA? Because on one hand, you can sit there and say, hey, Montreal did a nice job. They don't make a commitment. But on the other hand is they don't make a commitment. And, you know, there's always the threat that he could move sooner than later.
Well, what he has, we had more definition, Nick, in relation to the new CBA. When everything expired on September the 15th, we were all guessing in terms of what the rights would be. There was speculation as to what the new CBA would bring in terms of arbitration rights. So those rights are now defined. We now know where he stands in that respect. In answer to your question, there's four more years to go, including this year, before he's unrestricted. Now, having said that, I don't think Montreal would want to be in a position at the end of next year to risk that process again on a short-term basis. I would expect, and I have every indication from them, that if PK continues to play the way he's played to date, that they'll be very serious about negotiating a longer-term commitment for him.
Did they give you that indication?
Yes.
Donnie, yesterday there's reports in the local press about one of your clients, Kessel, being on the block. As an agent, do you get involved in talking to the player, or do you just let that be water under the bridge speculation? Do you talk to the organization? But what's your role in a situation like that where it is a high profile player in your group?
Well, we're just coming out of a situation in Montreal where, as you gentlemen know, there's a rumor every day. So for the past 2 weeks, we've been dealing with rumors every day. And you get to the point, really, where you have some general guidance and direction for the player, and you're not responding to rumors on a daily basis. Now, Toronto is another high-profile center for hockey, and we see that. But I would tell you that I don't really think we're dealing with rumors of that nature. We're dealing with, if you will, the bigger picture, direction and guidance in terms of how to respond to, coaches' instructions or performance or things of that nature. But not necessarily do we get that involved in terms of trade rumors. Otherwise, you'd be dealing with it on a constant basis.
Nick asked a good question to Rich Evans yesterday regarding how the new CBA differed from the old CBA and these negotiations. Like your comment on that.
Well, my take on it is that we're dealing with the same system, if you will, dramatically different from the last time around, where we were dealing with a whole different system and a different set of rules. This is much more conducive for us in that we know the system, the cap has changed, obviously, but no substantial change, really, that we're looking at. So from our perspective, life's a little easier. Far more so than the last time.
Your overall feel, though, around the league, especially with group twos with no arb, we've seen some guys hit the home run like Ben, and we've seen other guys like your guys, Delzato and PK, have to work a little harder. Is there a sense that some teams it is business as usual and others is just no go?
You know what, Nick? It depends on the perspective of the team, their circumstances, their cap situation, their ownership issues, fan support. Drew Doughty is a client of ours that did a post-entry-level contract, which was a substantial contract and really in many respects set the trend for post-entry-level contracts. Michael Delzato's situation was different. There's a team there that really was poised to win that had pretty substantial depth on the defense level. And really what you end up doing on behalf of all of these players on a post-entry level basis is that you really have to balance out the considerations. And in large measure, you manage expectations and you mitigate against risk. And you try and balance out all those considerations before you make a decision going forward. Because it's tough to apply a principle across the board on all of these teams because, as Doug can attest, you make different decisions based on the location you're in and all of the circumstances relating to ownership and fan support and issues of that nature.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit here. You represented, obviously, Drew Doughty. You represented PK Subban. Both of guys were in the 22-23 minute a game range. Both were top guys in terms of the way the teams relied on them. What was the difference? Why did Drew get his money and PK couldn't?
Well, the circumstances were different. To name but a few, Drew Doughty played on Canada's Olympic team in the Olympics at the age of 19. There were differing circumstances. The payroll scenario in Los Angeles was different. The Kopitar deal was a post-entry level contract, which had a bearing on Drew Doughty's contract. in many respects, we were able to convey the circumstances of Drew being their best player on their team. The circumstances just differed from organization to organization. And even if, at the end of the day, you could say that there would be similar circumstances, if you could and they were different, but if you could say the circumstances were similar, then you have to bear the responsibility of the risk involved of playing or not playing. And then you have to measure the time frame, which we've talked about earlier on in the conversation.
Now, at the end of the day, you present the facts, and do you make the recommendation, PK, this is the situation. We may hold out and get a few more dollars, but it's more important for you to get on the ice and play and move towards the next contract sooner than later.
A little bit of both, Doug, in that respect, in that you allow the player to make decisions and then he gives you instructions, but then obviously the reason that you are retained is that they seek your guidance and they seek your direction and most of all they seek your judgment.
Donnie, before we let you go, this is your one chance to talk to Doug and say, take it easy on some of my clients. You're way too critical. You're way too tough.
Because I was told Dion's.
And in that respect, Nick, I think you've been very much more supportive of players than Doug. But Doug has that management aspect in his blood system, so he can't change totally.
But listen, Dion can be mad at me. I just can't have Amber and Paul Phaneuf mad at me. That's all. And the grandparents.
Donnie,
I can't have all the mad at me.
Donnie, at which point did you decide to leverage PK can go do Friday night hockey all year with Millard and Kiprios
and McLean
to Bergevin? You don't do Friday night hockey.
Oh, thank God, yeah.
The kid turned into pretty good at the job.
He did say something that as long as he got more money than management, Doug McLean, and I said, don't worry about that. We'll get that done.
Yeah, you were never a big booster of mine when it came to help me out.
Congratulations on getting him back on the ice, and good luck with the negotiations, which probably will start in the next couple of months based on things working out. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks for coming visible after the contract was over.
Jeez.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate
so much.
It.